Okay. Testing, testing. Testing, testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Yeah. All right. Well, I just want to welcome you here. I want to just say happy birthday to Peggy. Her birthday just happens to land on today, so we get to pick on her a little bit. So, Peggy, 21st or 18th, 18th birthday. Okay. Any other birthdays on this side? Anybody anniversary or birthdays? Don't be shy. Just raise your hand. Point them out. It's the only time you get to do it. No one? How about this side, anybody? Yes. Oh, wow. Ninth anniversary. Happy anniversary, guys. Well, Theon, I just want to say thank you. I know we weren't here for the past couple of weeks, but thank you so much for from the bottom of our hearts, from speaking for our team to North Dakota. Thank you for your prayers and support and just incredible experience we had there. Still trying to figure some things out. But thank you for just caring for us and just sending me those text messages and these appreciation notes and things like that that really just lifted our spirits. We loved the experience there. We missed it. I have never seen so many bugs before in my life. And so thank you for that. And, you know, I just love short-term missionship. I just want to plug it just real quickly. Because just for a short period of time, we get to leave all this distraction and all the busyness of home and the things that are there and just really get to be just focusing on the Lord and what he wants us to do for a short period of time. So I just encourage everyone, that if you can, just take that trip, take that step of faith and just go to a short-term mission trip and see what God does through your lives. And so I just thank you so much for your support. So let's begin just praying again and just ask God to come. Father, I thank you for the worship team. Lord, for the songs that was lifted here. Thank you for the lives of that are all represented here, Father, from all different backgrounds. And God, we don't know where each of us are coming from, but God, we're here. We're here needing to hear from you. We're here needing to hear your voice and your word. I pray that you would just get me out of the way, Lord, that you would just speak truth and that you would challenge us and change us from the inside out. From the depth of our hearts, Lord, that you would speak that word that would just illuminate us, Lord, and bring to life and bring to our spirit a passion for your name. Lord, we desire, God, that our life would be lived to the glory of your name, Father, and that none of us here would ever want to go to the end of our lives knowing that we have wasted it. We have lost many opportunities. That we don't want that to be our testimony, God. We desire so much, Lord, that you rule and you reign. And God, that you would just use us for the glory of your name. And so we just pause right now and think of our China team. But would you bless Gilbert and Fonny and Michelle and Minda? Lord, would you use them today and encourage them if they're discouraged and give them strength and energy to love people, to share lives with them, to share the word of God with them. And Lord, we look forward to just hearing just great reports and what you're doing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we start a very important series, and I think it's important. It's because it's asked a very difficult question. And the question we're asking before us and we're trying to tackle in this series is how do I grow? How do I grow spiritually? I'm not talking about how do I grow sideways or physically, or we all know how to do that. But how do I grow spiritually? What is it going to take for us to move from this point to this point? And how does God move us through there? And really, quite honestly, what I've discovered so far in studying this whole thing about growth is really it's a mystery. Okay? And so I'm going to present to you a mystery. And so I really don't know what I'm talking about, except to say that there are some things in our lives that God uses to mature us and bring us to a place where we are useful for him. And that really is what maturity is about and growing is about. But before we start that, even asking that question, we want to just begin to say another important question. Am I growing? Am I growing? And I just really think that it's critical that we ask that question honestly and brutally as we can, because how we answer that question determines if we're open to hear what God has to say to how we can grow further. And so this question before us, am I growing? It's actually a very difficult one because it's not something that I've got a hold of or have a really good testimony of. Here, I'm growing really well. I haven't got there. I asked myself this question as I began to prepare this series, and I said to myself, you know what? In this past year of my life, what are the signs that God has shown me that I am growing? What are the things that I can point to that and say, am I maturing? Have I grown from where I was before to where I am now? Is there any change in me? Is there any evidence in my life that says, you know, I am closer to Jesus? And that's a difficult question. And it's a question that I will pose to you and ask you to just ponder. Just take a year. Just take a year from today, this past year, and you ask yourself, am I grown? Have I matured as a believer? Because if you are a believer here, there is no option except to grow. And if you're not growing, or if you do not understand or see signs or evidences of growth, then we have to ask the question, what is going on? What has gone wrong? And where can we come in and help and encourage you? See, the idea of what we're here for as a church ultimately is what? It's to equip you to become mature men and women of Christ, to go out and to impact this world, and to you yourself lead people to Christ and mature them and disciple them. That's what we're all about. That's the chain of what we're doing. And now, George Barna, in his research, in his books, he is saying and he is discovering that there are a lot of Christians, but very few disciples. There are a lot of Christians who say, you know what, growing in Christ, yes, that is something I want to do. But very few are giving the time or taking the effort to really pour themselves into the process of growth. And he is discovering this, that there are two-thirds people who say that it's very important for them to grow. In his research, he says two-thirds of born-again believers said that it's very important for them to grow. But two-thirds of them do not give the time or the effort to grow. And a quarter of the people actually admitted there is no desire or motivation to mature in their faith. And that's a serious issue. If it's true, if that research is true, then we have to ask ourselves, am I growing? And if I'm not, why am I not growing? So the question before us today is really, it's really difficult to actually put and quantify. I understand that. But the question I still have to ask you is that, are you growing? Are you maturing? And so I was thinking about this when I was just thinking about my experience in North Dakota. And when we got to North Dakota, I couldn't wait to get back into this little series of houses where we did ministry last year. I couldn't wait to go there because I said, man, I got to go see these people. I haven't seen them for a year, and I'm excited to hear about what some of the changes. You know, maybe they got bigger, maybe they had more kids, maybe they got better jobs or whatever. And so I was excited to catch up with them. And so when we got there, I was able to go to their houses and say, hey, what's going on? I asked them the same question. So, hey, I haven't seen you in a year. So what's going on this past year? Anything new? And in their own way, everyone said the same thing. Nope. Nothing new. Nothing's going on. Nothing's changed. And I just realized there's this strong sadness on the reservation. That's the reality of the reservation. Because there's this hopelessness and this apathy that's born from lies without movement. People living without any kind of motion. And eat neither spiritual emotion, nor physical emotion, nor professional emotion. They live without movement, without purpose, without passion. And I just remember that there's people who were jobless last year, they're still jobless this year. People who were drunk last year, they're still drinking. People who went to drop out of school are still not back in school. And those very few people who had hopes and dreams for college education and ambition for their lives, they still speak of that one day. One day I'll get there. One day when I get there, I'll do something. Now, honestly, I didn't expect any spiritual growth. But I was struck and saddened by the lack of personal growth. And so I just thinking to myself, is this true for some of us in our spiritual life? Is there a place, is there among some of us that there comes a point where we say, you know what, nothing much has changed. If I look back through this year, if I look back to 2 years from today, and I think about where I was 2 years ago and where I am today, and there's nothing changed. There's not much has changed. I still struggle with the same sin. I still struggle with the same relationship issues. And I wonder if that reservation mentality is the same for us in our spiritual life. But then I think, what is even more tragic? What is even more tragic than that? Even more tragic is that there's some of us who maybe have gotten to a place where we have said no to God enough times, that we have said, God, no, I don't have time for you. I don't have time to volunteer in this ministry. I don't have time to go here. I don't have time to do this. We have said no to God enough time that we began to get used to that. And we begin to say, you know what? I'm comfortable with this no. I'm comfortable with where God has me. I don't need to grow. I've done enough of my shares of Sunday school. I know enough answers. I don't need to grow. That's the tragedy in our lives. And so I challenge you in this series, as we begin to talk about how do I grow, we need to be brutally honest with ourselves and say, am I growing? And if I'm not growing, then I need to do something. I need to make a change, and I need to pursue God. And it's our hope, and it's my hope, that this series would give you the opportunity to take your spiritual growth and maturity and place it in the forefront of your lives, not in the back burner, not in the busyness of your life, but put it in the forefront and says, God, I want to grow, because if I am not growing, then I'm dying. And so I want to begin today and ask you and ask this question of this: how does God define growth? How does God see maturity? Now, there's a lot of verses that speak of spiritual maturity, but the passage today lays it out pretty clear. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me or look behind me. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. There's on the back there. Let's read it together. Let's read it loud, okay? So here we go. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Let's read that one more time. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now, to understand a little bit of background of the book of Colossians. Now, in this church in Colossae, this ancient city, there seems to be have been a circulating among the believers. It's what the scholars call the Colossian heresy, this heretical set of teaching that was going on. Now, no one knows exactly what form of teaching it is or what they were teaching, but we have some clues of what it could have been. I know that scholars know that this heresy was man-focused. That means that these were the kinds that says, you know, rules and set out things to observe, such as holidays and telling people that you should not eat or fast. And so it's one of those things that really was man-focused. And into this particular thing that Paul wrote this letter to these believers, and he says, you know what? There's this new tradition that's being passed around. There's this new set of teaching. But remember, I wanted to remind you of this old tradition, this old teaching. And what is this old teaching? This is the teaching that we just read in verses 6 to 7. That's, therefore, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, establishing your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with kindness, with gratitude. And Paul is saying, Don't forget what you have been taught. And so as we think about this passage, there are seven markers or indicators of what Paul is saying a growing follower of Jesus Christ ought to look like. There are seven things, and you can follow with me in your outline. And these seven things, I'll go through each one kind of quickly. But these are critical indicators and markers of a growing Christian life. So the first thing that we want to look at is real simple. A growing Christian has to have received Jesus Christ as Lord. Receive Christ as Lord. Look at verse 6. It says, therefore, as, or you can translate the word as since you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is critical. You cannot grow apart from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot grow if you're not connected to the God who loves you and gave his son for you. That is pretty straightforward and pretty common understanding. So to begin your growth process, you must have understood sin and the damages of sin. And you must have to understand that Christ, through Christ alone and his blood on the cross, that we are forgiven. That's by grace alone that we are saved. And that God opens us this gift and offers us this gift that if we would receive it and enter into this relationship with God, not only are we saved, but we are renewed and born again. And we are refreshed. And so, therefore, growth has to have at its core this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So the second indicator is walks in Christ. So it says in verse 6 that since you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Paul likes to use this word walk. This word walk is actually pretty cool. And he uses to indicate the kind of life that Christians ought to live. It is the kind of life that is in living in consistent obedience to the things of God, what Jesus Christ values and who he is as a person and who he has modeled for us. So in other words, this walking is metaphorical for us living the Christ-like life. So I want you guys to notice in this verse, notice that there's an imperative here. Walk in him. What does that mean? There is no exception. Paul is saying that since you have surrendered your life, since you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't have a choice in this matter. Walk in him. Walk in him. Of course we have a choice. We cannot walk in him. But that's foolish. That's inconsistent with someone who actually has wholeheartedly given their life to Jesus. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you have asked him to be Lord of your life, then walk in him. Live according to the obedience of Christ. The reality is this, it's black and white. Either Jesus is Lord of your life or he is not. And growth is impossible if Jesus is just my homie. I know a lot of students, they love to say that Jesus is my homie. What does that mean anyways? I don't know what that means. Except Jesus is my best friend. I love Jesus. But Jesus cries out and says, I have to be Lord and Savior. And being Lord means that he runs your life. That your life is his, and there is no other way to it. So if you want to grow, walk in him. So, and I just love this passage because you're probably scratching your head. What does it mean to walk in Christ? What does it mean to walk in Christ? So in verse 7, Paul is going to give us four ways of walking in Christ. And these are really just awesome. So the first thing, and the third indicator is that is to be firmly rooted. Firmly rooted. Look at verse 7, and it says that having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and establishing your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. To walk in Christ means first to have been firmly rooted in Christ. This passive verb, it really is when it's translated, it means to point to a place of standing on a sure foundation or actually putting your fruits, your roots, I mean, in buried deep into this life-giving soil of Jesus Christ. It is from this soil that we draw our nutrients and our resources for life and to grow and to mature. And so I was thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean for us to bury our roots into this foundation of Jesus Christ? I remember back in 1991 when I first gave my life to Jesus Christ. I remember the gospel was shared that Saturday night. And I've heard the gospel all my life growing up in the Catholic Church. And I remember for some reason that night, it was opened up to me to the point where I said, God, is it true that I can know you in a deep, personal way? And I was introduced to this relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time. And there was this reconciliation that in Christ, I can find my way to God. That in Christ, I can be assured of salvation, assured of heaven. And I was excited. I remember just walking out that night and just drinking in deeply this love of God. The love of God that has for all of us. How cool is that? I remember how powerful it was. And I remember thinking to myself, God, if this is true, if I am able to know you, if I am able to come into this relationship with you, if I am able to know the God of the universe, then I would do anything. I would give my life. I would spend the rest of my life pursuing that privilege. The privilege of knowing Christ Jesus. Hey, if it's possible to know Jesus, if it's possible to know the God of the universe, wouldn't you give up everything to do so? That's being firmly rooted. That was the moment where my roots reached down and began to drink from the living water. So growth can only happen if we're connected to Jesus Christ. So ask yourself, how passionate for Christ are you? How needy and desperate are you to drink of that living water? If you want to answer the question, am I growing? Ask yourself, am I desperate for the things of God? Now, if God doesn't move somehow in my life today, then I am messed up. How desperate are we? So that's being firmly rooted. Then he goes on, Paul goes on and says, and being built up in him. Notice again a passive verb. The passive verb of being built up in him is not only because you're standing on a sure foundation, but you are also being strengthened or built up or made into a structure, a complete structure upon this foundation. This passive verb has the idea of finishing a building, of finishing a structure upon a foundation that's already been laid. That's the gist of this verb. So a believer, not only do you become, you build yourself and stick your roots into the foundation of Christ, but you are also being built up. And the way I look at this is that, are you growing in maturity? Are you understanding the deeper things of Christ? Are you eating the meat and not the milk, so to speak? Are you excited to come into the Word and be digging deeper? Or are you just tired? I don't want to know anymore. I have to go to college, you know, I got all these homework, I have all these drama with my friends. I don't have time for the deeper things of God. So being built up in Him. Are you noticing in your life that God is constructing you, putting missing pieces and breaking things down that are hurtful? Are you noticing the things that God is doing to build you up into a building, a completed structure in Him? Are you increasing in wisdom and knowledge of the truth of God and His Word? See, those who are maturing, those who are growing, you're not satisfied. Not satisfied with the surface answer. You're not satisfied with the Sunday school answers. You can't wait to go deeper. You can't wait to go to see what's underneath the surface. You ask questions. You seek. You start digging. That's the sign of someone who's maturing. So do you see any evidence of that in your lives? So you're firmly rooted. You're being built up. The fifth thing is that you're being established in your faith. I love that. The verb to establish is to make certain. to prove acceptable, to prove real. So when you have roots that's deep into the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then you're being built up in Christ through the Holy Spirit working in your life, then the certainty and the strength of your faith increases. If you're not plugged in, if you're not being built up, your faith decreases. In fact, you begin to have doubts. You begin to have these questions that are nagging, and you can't answer them. And so you begin to say, no, this must not be real. That's the step of those who have fallen away. You begin with doubts because you're not connected. You're not eating of the fruit of the Word of God. You're not drinking from the well. And so you're thirsty. And when we're thirsty, we get discouraged and we fall away. So the closer we are to God, the more certain and the more increasing and the more powerful is our faith. And I just don't know. What if, just think about this question for a second. What if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is here in this room? What would that do to how we make decisions? What would that do to the way I live my life? What would that do to the things I spend my time thinking about? If God is real, doesn't that make some sort of difference? Wouldn't that make us want to fall down and say, God, I need you. Would you draw me in deeper? A growing believer, his faith is established. When you're certain about your faith, certainty of faith leads to conviction. And conviction leads to confidence. And confidence in Christ builds in us this reality of a living God and gives us courage to make hard decisions. It gives us the stability when the storms of life flows and gives us passion to pursue the things we know is real. So that's the fifth thing. It's being established in your faith. And the sixth thing is that it responds to what was instructed. Look at Paul, what he says here. That he says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. The first three passive verbs are there because Paul is building up to this point. He says, remember what we taught you. And remember the things that you have embraced and you have received. The teaching that is passed down from Jesus Christ to his apostles and now passed down to you. Remember that teaching. And if you embrace it and you meditate on it and if you make it a part of your life, then you would grow. Then you would grow. Because that is what is rooting them. That is what is building them up. That is what is establishing their faith. It's this teaching. And they're responding to the teaching that they had received, to the instruction which Paul and others have poured into them. So the principle here is very important. Believers grow best within discipleship relationships. Believers grow best within discipleship relationships as they begin to connect with others who will teach them and lead them and walk with them to this road of maturity. Because spiritual growth never happens in a vacuum. Spiritual growth never happens by yourself. Spiritual growth happens only in community. Only in community. And you know that. And finally, the last marker of a growing Christian is that their lives is marked with gratitude. In light of all that God has done in saving us, in light of all the things that he has poured out for us, our only logical response is to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I wonder a lot of times, the reason why we're not so grateful is we never really understand the depth to which we have been saved. Because probably deep down in our hearts, we think, you know, we're not so bad. We're not as bad as that person to my left. not as bad as that person to my right. I'm better looking. I make more money. We really don't think we're that bad. So to really understand and just really be grateful to the things that God has done to save us, we need to see the depth of our sins. And so as we seek this question, to answer this question, how am I growing? Am I growing? Paul clearly lays down these seven principles, these seven markers of growth. Have you asked Christ to forgive your sins and reign in your life? Have you received Him? Are you still walking with Him? How strong is your connection to Christ? How deep is your roots into who He is? And what evidence do you have that God is moving and working in your life and building you up? How confident and certain are you in your faith in God? How connected are you to others? Are you in a discipleship relationship? Are you in a group where people are challenging you to grow and to stop sinning? And just to tell you straight up and say, hey, you need to grow. You need to mature in this area. Are you in one of those relationships in the body of Christ? And are you thankful? I know these are a lot of questions, and they're really hard to adequately answer, but I challenge you that this week as you go home, begin to think and begin to just have a state of your union with God. Find some time, take out a piece of paper, a journal, and says, God, how am I doing with you? Am I growing? Am I falling away? Am I not even close? Am I closer now than I was before? God, what is hindering my love relationship with you? What is standing in the way? And I just ask that you come back, that you share that with someone. And learn now, as we begin to talk about how do I grow now, that you begin to see the things that we need to do to put God first in our lives. So please, I pray that each of you would make growing in Christ this summer, these next few months, the top priority in your life. Not by just simply saying, yeah, that's a good idea. No, no. Do it. Make time for it. Pursue it. The best journey of our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, we are all yours.